Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And I'm from Chicago's North Side. I am Scotto, and not entirely good at remembering who I am, I guess.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, or should I say mixtape more technically? I had to look up what the difference was. And it is from 2019, Stitches by Lava LaRue. Ava Laurel, a.k.a. Lava LaRue, is a London-based rapper slash singer and co-founder of the underground art and music collective 9-8. I found out about them thanks to Jasmine Rogers, who we've reviewed last year. They share a mastering engineer, and Jasmine was going on about Lava's latest recording, which, Vest and Boxers, I think it's called, a good song. Stitches is LaRue's second mixtape. It was released independently on September 8th, 2019, produced by Lava LaRue, Mac Wetha, and I think a few other people. Hard to find information about this week because there's no Wikipedia.
I know I'm always in for a treat when there's no Wikipedia.
And features Lava LaRue on vocals, a number of features that we'll talk about as we get to this each song. And I think it's probably all production and sample-based, so no actual musicians.
Okay.
A reminder, I don't edit the songs in any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at John and Scotto, you'll find links to Stitches on Spotify and YouTube, so you can listen along if you'd like. On to track one, Burn. Love the atmosphere that this one sets up. It's got a great groove. Love all the glitched-out vocals. Very catchy melody. Lava sings as much as they rap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Love the Othello reference in the first verse. And I just love how Lava plays with the rhythm in their raps. There's a great synth bass that becomes noticeable just before the bridge.
It's a lot smoother than I was expecting, you know? I was expecting something pretty either raw or heavier, and it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, this is very atmospheric, moody. Gets a little progressive and interesting at times, but for the most part it's very moa.
Honestly, a minute in and I was sold.
Oh, nice.
Like, we were just a minute in and I was like, oh, this is gonna be good.
And I deliberately did this one the week after Montero, because as much as I enjoyed Montero, I kind of, you know, raved about it last week. I think this is kind of the independent version of what they were going for there.
Yeah, this is actually more of what I wanted out of Montero. For this one song, I don't even think she needed a chorus for it. It's, you know, I think, you know, we don't need no stinking chorus. I forget which review I said that on, but this is definitely one of them. It's just the intro, and and it did what it's, you know, there to, because I definitely wanted to hear more. The fade out was kind of interesting towards the end.
Yeah, there are points on the album where the fade sounds like they're about to change direction on the song, but it goes away.
Well, you get into these nice vocal effects. It actually sounded different on my recording headphones from my work headphones, which was weird.
If you're going to listen to this, use headphones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always use headphones, but...
Well, I'm saying to the audience, this is a headphone album. You need headphones for this one.
Right, and my recording headphones have a different sound from my work headphones. So I, on the recording headphones, the vocal effects were just all over the place, and I was just like, whoa.
And I'm using a $20 pair of, you know, Apple earbuds, and it still kind of blew me away.
And then my work headphones, it just kind of sounded normal. Right. It's like, oh, okay, I remember being like more blown away by this way. Heard this the first time.
Track two, TLSL, Stitches. Love the slightly distorted synthesizer. Like, there's this kind of almost like overdriven.
Yeah.
Love the double-tracked vocals. And that's going to be a continuing note. She doesn't just, and it's not just the same recording on both sides. They actually did like two takes.
Oh, I described the keyboards as ice cream truck dreamy.
That's a good point. It's like an ice cream truck sound, but like played too loud through a speaker.
Yes, yes. I definitely get like a Lured vibe from this, from this song at least.
Yeah.
I don't think I hear it much on the rest of this, but here, that's what I'm getting.
And though the rest of it's kind of all over the place. Nice chorus melody. Like how her voice changes registers in the chorus, you know, she's this really one really high part, and then she drops down.
She reminds me a lot of MIA, actually, like especially her rapping style.
Should point out, Lava has they, she on their Instagram profiles, where I'm getting pronouns from, so either one works.
Wait, did I use pronouns? I've even...
You said she, but there's Lava's Instagram, it's they, she, so she's okay. Fine. Rapping with a British accent is always a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Because we're so accustomed to American rappers. And whenever I hear rap in a different language or with a different accent, it's always just kind of interesting to me.
Ah, you know, when Peter Gabriel did it in 73.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of spoken stuff early on and kind of the origins of rap,
yeah,
even in rock.
No, he even refers to it as a rap, actually.
Oh, he I does.
Think it's like 74.
Okay. What song?
Well, there's the Grand Parade of Lifeless Packaging, and then I think there's a section in middle section in the Battle of Epping Forest where he just raps.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
he tells the story, and it's just him, you know, keeping a beat.
Yeah. That's all it is speaking in time.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It started with MCs at house parties who were just basically were there to announce the DJ and kind of keep the crowd invested, and they just started speaking in time with the music, and it turned into rap. And on to track 324. This is my pick for weakest. I like the overactive hi-hat, like the groove, love the synth bass. It's just a bit too one-dimensional, and the next few tracks are that for me. They just kind of stay in the same groove. They don't change a lot.
I agree. This was lower on the list, and I saw the video, and damn, do I feel old. But there's a kind of a Cardi B vibe going on here for the next, I'd say, two or three here. This one, okay. Next two.
It's kind of the weak spot for me too. I'm not at all familiar with Cardi B, but they're just the individual songs are fine. They just kind of stick in one groove and stay there, and it's just kind of monotonous and one dimensional to me.
You can't rap and not have been influenced by Cardi B. Her influence has been everywhere for the last I don't know how many years now.
I've only heard the one song.
I'm thinking, trying to think of when she first came on, and it was like the last 3 to 4 years have just been such a blur for me that I couldn't tell you a goddamn thing. But yeah, I could like hear it in the last Run the Jewels, and I mean, it's just her influence is everywhere. You can't escape it.
On to track 4, Biscuit. Love the groove, love the kick sound. Like how subtle the double tracked vocals got on this one. You really had to listen to hear, you know, both voices. Nice atmospheric synth patch. Again, it's just a bit one-dimensional. This one really kind of switches up just before the fade. You think they're going to go somewhere, and it fades out.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. Expecting it to do something else. And a lot of this, I could feel like she could go longer.
Yeah. This, again, is a mixtape, and one of the differentiators between a mixtape and an album is a mixtape is put out very kind of quickly and... Without any polish. An album is, you take more time, you polish it, you really put your best foot forward. A mixtape is just a collection of songs that you're putting out quickly. So, you know, when they put out an album, maybe it'll be, if they put out an album, it'll be more, you know, more thought we've put into that. Track 5, Phony, great snare sound, love the delay on the vocals, like the high synth part, again, great synth bass. Like how Lava plays with the timing toward the end.
This would be my pick for weakest, and maybe it's just because of the tracking, because this is like the third of kind of the same type in a row, and it's kind of like I was kind of getting nervous here that the rest of this is
going to sound
like this. I'm like, it started out really good.
And it's kind of like, and not stylistically at all, but there was a similar issue with Run the Jewels. There was a middle section that just kind of fell down for me, and the rest was amazing. Kind of a situation here where there was a few in the middle that kind of fell down, but the rest is out of the park.
And when I say Cardi B, the style, I'm usually talking about kind of like a staccato flow in your delivery, you know?
Okay.
And I don't remember anybody really doing that until she came along.
Mm.
And now you kind of hear it everywhere.
She did have a massive hit. At least right out of the gate. And
several, so. You know? I mean, yeah.
I mean, well, again, not as someone who barely knows anything about hip hop, I heard that one song ad nauseum.
Right.
So, you know, if that was so huge that I got sick of it, she was super, and she obviously, you're going to have a lot of influence then. Track 6, Machino, I'm guessing in that pronunciation, in 83, featuring Virgil Hawkins. This is my pick for favorite.
Same here.
Just a really nice surprise to have acoustic guitar in the intro. Great kick sound.
I kind of felt like I was playing it safe by, you know, picking this as the strongest, but it just...
I figured it was going to be this one or the next one for you. I was kind of thinking the next one, but...
I was back and forth between this one and the next one.
But love the kick sound, nice vocal melody. There's a really nice flute sample. It's almost like a rap over, like, a mellow Crimson song.
And really, then I started understanding why they had the three together in that pack, because this just makes such an impact when you come out of those three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was like, oh, now I get it. It's it's pretty genius segging, you know.
That's true. The two right after those three, kind of, you know, one dimensional ones, are the most interesting on the album.
You're just like, whoa, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, you're just kind of just zoning off a bit in that third one. And then this track comes on, and you're just like, wait, we're in a different realm altogether. And I like the dude that was on this one, they were all right. It was a good contrast to her voice. I don't know. Yeah. If she really needed a guest at this point.
It was a nice change of pace when his verse comes in. I like the two of them in unison. There's some nice little auto-tune.
I think her singing's probably the strongest on this track, which is probably why I think it's the strongest. It's just really good.
Track 7, Grape Soda Interlude, featuring Tariq Disu. The intro sound effects were interesting, and then it just got more interesting from there. There's this long voicemail, some really glitchy timing. It goes completely off the rails before the feature.
Right. It's like an order of a restaurant they ordered from, calling them back saying what they were out of.
If there is such a thing as avant-garde hip-hop, this is it.
Oh, yeah. I really was close to picking this as strongest, but it was just, I was like, oh, I don't know. I'll play it safe and go with the good, well put together song.
Love Tariq's verse. Love the chaotic ending.
I really like his style.
Yeah. Like, I say chaotic ending, but like 3/4 of the song is just pure chaos.
Yes. Yes. And just it ends with like, let's see what this sounds like.
Track 8, Lilo, love the kind of off-kilter groove, great delay on the vocal, has a bit of an 80s feel.
Yeah, really digging this one too.
Like the vocoder, use of vocoder, there's a complete change going into verse 2, which was nice. Does get a bit repetitive before the voicemail, again, there's another voicemail section. But I do like the synth part before the fade.
Yeah, I think this the second half of this whole thing, I could have... you could probably get a strong track on it, but
Track 9, Spiral, featuring Mac Wetha. Like the sudden start, it just kind of like there was that one song, the first song on the TV on the Radio album, where it just kind of, it sounds like it was already playing and they just started recording it. Similar effect here, where it just kind of has this very sudden start. Great groove, like the atonal synth.
Great fucking beat, you know.
Yeah. Love the fast raps, the repeated raps, which is normally something that would irritate me, but it kind of works rhythmically nicely here.
And it very MIA, that fast and mixing of the speeds, you know, breathy. It just, I wish this could have gone longer. Definitely, out of all the songs, I really wish this one went a whole 4 minutes.
But it also had a nice chaotic ending.
Oh yeah.
So do you recommend it?
Definitely, yeah. I want to hear more from her. So
she's done. This is her second mixtape, so there are some more on Spotify to check out. Yeah, I definitely recommend it too. Few tracks are a bit one dimensional, but the rest is just brilliant.
I'd love to hear her work with like Open Mic Eagle or something. Track 2 reminds me a lot of an open mic Eagles song that I think he put out around the same time. So.
Oh, okay. Specific song.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's it for Stitches. Until next time, when we'll be doing the TV show, instead of the hearing, we'll be talking about the first six episodes of The Phoenix, a show we both loved when we were young, and that I have revisited in subsequent years, and I think it holds up. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.